Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 455 of the Motorcycle Men podcast. Today, I will be chatting with Florian Neuhauser of Roadrunner Magazine, and he's here to tell us all about the magazine, their online magazine, their tours, and a bunch of other stuff. So thank you very much for coming back. Before we get any further, the Motorcycle Men podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. They're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, get on over to scorpionusa.com. And Wild Ass Seats. You can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go to wild-ass.com. And tell the real Craig Johnson your ass hurts and you need a cushion. And of course, as always, Tobacco Motorwear. For the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMAN. Everyone here at the podcast is wearing Tobacco riding gear. It's worth it. I won't ride without it. So your safety is worth it. Get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. All right, time now for that little chat with Florian. All right, boys and girls, we're back. And joining me today, all the way from, you know, you're in North Carolina also. Winston-Salem, you said, right?
That's right. Thanks for having me, Ted.
Yeah.
Fellow North Carolina native.
Yeah, we got Florian Neuhauser from Roadrunner Magazine. How you doing, Florian?
Pretty good, you know. It's been pretty cold outside.
So yeah, dude.
I have time for podcasts and talking and catching up with some office work.
Yeah, because that's always fun. That's something you'd rather be doing, right? Oh, my God. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and your motorcycle self.
Yeah, sure. Name's Florian. Not the most typical North Carolinian name,
no.
But originally from Austria.
Really?
And we moved from Austria in 99, and then in 2001 we started magazine Roadrunner Motorcycle Touring and Travel, and this year we are celebrating 25 years.
Oh, wow, congratulations. That's awesome, man. That's fantastic.
It's a huge milestone.
Yeah,
and we've had a whirlwind of a year. We've had special covers on all of our magazine issues this year.
Yeah.
And to top it off, we gave away a motorcycle.
Did you really? What'd you give away?
We gave away a 2025 BMW R1300 GS Adventure.
Wow, boy, that winner must be really stoked about that.
Yeah, Dirk from Louisiana,
Wow.
He is, yeah. He still can't believe that he won a motorcycle, which, I mean, yeah. I mean, what are the chances to actually win one of these things? Because surely you've also seen a lot of sweepstakes happening on social media, and you do always wonder, are they really giving away a vehicle?
Yeah, right.
To a friend? But no, we actually found a winner and gave away a motorcycle.
How many people entered?
We had about 60,000 entries.
60,000. Wow. So your odds weren't that bad. You know, it's better than the lottery, I suppose. But
definitely better than the lottery. And of course, we did this to say thank you to our readers,
right,
and also as a promotion to find new readers.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to learn that not all of our readers participated in the sweepstakes. So
that's crazy.
That was kind of curious. I figured that every reader we have would be a definite entry, but no.
Yeah, that, I find that odd too, because I have contests here on the podcast, and you know, you have thousands of listeners or whatever, and you get 50 people enter. You like wonder why, right? So it's crazy. But what do you ride?
Depends what's in the garage, and it always. It changes, but right now I have three motorcycles, two of which I really don't ever want to sell. One's the Honda Trail 125.
Right.
It's just a fun little motorcycle, very low cost of ownership, and it's just fun to bob around on. That's my main commuter bike in the spring and the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have my second Yamaha Tenere 700.
Okay.
And the first one I let go too quickly. The second one, I'm not planning on selling. It's just, it's a motorcycle that fits me very well from the ergonomics.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun motorcycle. I wish it had a little more oomph, but it's, for what it is, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And then I have a Triumph Scrambler 1200 XE.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that one, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, I'll never tire of looking at it. But I think I've had that one for sale for 2 years now,
really?
Almost. And it's just, yeah, not sure why.
Hey, maybe that can be your next giveaway bike.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. It's just the only thing I have to change on that one is the seat. The stock seat is brutally hard.
Really?
But I haven't quite decided what kind of aftermarket seat I want.
Well, hey, you know, we can pick and choose. Like, we can drive ourselves crazy over parts and accessories for our bikes, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so what makes Roadrunner's motorcycle destinations stand out compared to other travel resources for motorcyclists?
So now, after 25 years of publishing, it's, you know, good news, bad news. Good news, Roadrunner is the largest and only motorcycle travel magazine sold on newsstands nationwide.
Yeah.
That's, you know, kind of cool, but kind of sad.
It is.
I wish there would be more motorcycle magazines, just because, you know, you look at any industry and I think a healthy one has several magazines. I just think it's a good sign and it's good for consumers. But, you know, 2020 wiped out a lot of publishing companies.
Yeah, unfortunately.
A lot of people went digital.
Yeah.
But we're a small family company, mm-hmm. and this is all we do, and we really like what we do, so we never stop,
right?
And we just keep putting out the best possible stories and routes and product that we can, and our readers and our advertisers greatly appreciate it, and they show it through their support over the years.
Right. Well, let's talk about Roadrunner a little bit more. The magazine, circulation wise, how many subscribers does Roadrunner have?
Our circulation, our rate base is 57,000.
Wow.
And per issue, we have about 200, a little over 200,000 readers with
nice.
The pass along copies.
Okay. Wow. And are your magazines monthly or are they bi-monthly?
Roadrunner is a bi-monthly magazine.
Okay.
And we have one special issue that goes on the newsstand in September. And it's usually on the shelf for about a year. So we put out seven issues per year.
Okay. Now, as far as it goes for the link between the magazine and the website, do they go hand in hand or do they act independently?
4 years ago now, we updated our website. The old website was really good. Had a ton of information and GPS files on there. But a lot of things just started to misbehave, and there comes a point where you can't just keep fixing things.
Yeah.
You just need to start from zero. And it was a good time to reevaluate how we do things. So we decided to make the website roadrunner.travel its own separate product. So a print subscriber, they get the physical copies in the mail, mm-hmm. and they get the digital flip book access all the way back to January, February 2020. So it doesn't matter when you started your print subscription, you have access to the digital flipbooks back to Jan, Feb 2020. And that all happens through the subscriber portal.
All right.
And then we have our web subscriptions. And then the web subscribers, they have access to everything that's in the magazine, plus web exclusive articles.
Right.
And those are mainly travel articles and more GPS files, because the whole point of Roadrunner is we spend a lot of time scouting out areas to ride and then mapping really fun routes. And then we go out and do them, and that's where the stories come from and the chronicles. And then we share it with our readers. And based on our surveys, most of our readers download the GPS file and then follow the more or less the same exact route, but course never identical, but they lean on our research to make their own adventures.
Oh, okay. So it's like you have like two separate staffs, one running the website and one running the magazine, right?
I wish. I wish. Talking about staff. How big do you think we are? No, we are a very, very small company. I mean, you know, I can count our crucial staff on one hand.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
We can do a lot with, you know, dedication and some talent, I would say. But no, it's more or less the same people for magazine and the website. But none of this would be possible without our contributors.
Right.
We have contributors not only across America, but the world, really. And they keep a constant stream of new stories and some travel inspiration coming.
Right. Wow. Now, as far as the content that's in your magazine, what's on your website, on the Roadrunner Travel website, is the content the same or does it vary for each?
We always ran into the problem of running out of space in the magazine. I mean, it's just natural. We don't have unlimited pages,
right.
And we always had more editorial than fits. And that's the web subscribers get everything that's in the magazine, of course, but plus all of the additional stories that we can't fit in the magazine. And that ranges from full-on tour articles, from specific destination articles, and classic roads, some city escapes, and of course news, product reviews, motorcycle reviews, especially motorcycle reviews. We can only put two in each issue, mm-hmm. but there are a whole lot more motorcycles coming out throughout the year, so yeah. They go straight to the website in our YouTube channel. So the web subscribers get a whole lot more. Plus, they get access to the full catalog of all of our travel stories, and that includes almost 1,300 GPS files. And that's really I would say most of our web subscribers come to us to gain access to the GPS files, and then of course to see what's coming up new.
Oh, okay, I see. With regard to that content for what you put in a magazine and versus what you put on the travel website, how do you decide which destinations, roads, and other things like that to put in each place, especially in the magazine?
That is a secret recipe.
Okay.
Secret recipe. No, I can tell you. It's I can show you here on our call, but the reader clearly cannot see this, but we basically divided America into zones.
So oh, I see, yeah.
I got a map of the U.S., we draw some lines, and then we put a number on it. And then I look at my editorial calendar, and I try to spread out the geographic coverage. So one magazine can all be stories from California, right. Because people in Pennsylvania are going to be like, what the heck?
Right.
But it really needs to be a nice mix.
Okay,
and then the magazine has different tours. So we have, let's say, three or four tour articles in there in the U.S., the full-length tour articles, 11 to 13 pages. Then we have two city escapes, which is it's a shorter tour. And it's a one-day ride out of a major urban area. So we have two city escapes in each issue, and a classic roads, which follows either a scenic byway or a specific road that's noteworthy to follow, like the Nickel and Dimes Drive in Virginia, a lot of history along that route, and then an international destination. So there's a lot of different pieces, and you just need to look at the map and the calendar and give a nice spread. So no matter which issue somebody picks up off the newsstand or gets out of their mailbox, there's something in it for them.
Okay. So with regard to those tours that you put in the magazine and or on, well, the website, you pretty much gets everything. With regard
the website
to
gets everything.
Gets
yeah.
everything. Okay. Now, how do you decide which tours are going to make it, you know, like as far as goes for the historical landmarks and cultural landmarks, things like that. You put those in the magazine and you put those on the website. How do they shape your articles and the routes that you come up with?
It's never just a straightforward answer. It depends on the type of motorcycle. Is it a fully on-road tour on a Goldwing or a big cruiser? Is it an off-road route for a little dual sport, or is it something for large ADB bikes? So what type of motorcycle, what type of route, where are we in America? How's the photography? Because the whole point of the magazine is to showcase where we ride, and you can only do this with beautiful photography. And
of course,
when we started the magazine, my parents were professional photographers, which is why photos are so important to us. And you know, not every story has, you know, top-notch photography. That's just how it is. So those would be more for the website, because you can still make a really beautiful article. Mm-hmm. But with the magazine, there's just less room for error. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. How have any of the BDR routes impacted the magazine and the website? Have they been a predominant feature at times?
You know, it's just part of the story and our archive. I think we've covered every single BDR. Either we had a journalist on it, more recently Michael, one of the videographers, has been writing the stories from the BDRs for us. I was on the Arizona BDR.
Oh, really?
That one I did myself. But it's the BDR is a great organization. They put out a really popular route, and there's a charity component to it that people really enjoy. So I have a feeling that we're going to see a whole lot more BDR routes coming out in the future. And, you know, I think it's great for riders in America. The more routes, the merrier.
Yeah. There, as far as it goes for some of the routes and the destinations that Roadrunner features, has there any been like a super unique or unexpected destination that has really made an impact?
There are some areas that are more popular than others. Yeah. And I mean, we can see it by our web traffic and just by talking to people. It's our Bryson City Shamrock Tour is always a top five viewed article online and downloaded GPS file. Bryson City is in Western North Carolina, and it's a great hub to spend a few days, because Shamrock Tour, that's something unique to Roadrunner, is where we base in one town, and then we do 4 day rides out of it.
Okay.
You get your Shamrock loops out of it. And Bryson City has always been one of the most viewed, because you have Tale of the Dragon and all that other stuff. So that one is very popular. Southeast Ohio is an absolute gem to ride motorcycles. You have so many paved roads and so many gravel roads there. It's just, you'll never get bored in that area. So more and more people are discovering Southeast Ohio. That's always good. Same with the Ozarks, and then of course all the major ones. But I think at this point, it's almost 2026, but at this point, I think most motorcyclists in America know the best locations to go ride a motorcycle. And while we do cover them, I think it's safe to say that most people know. We focus more on the hidden gems and places you wouldn't normally go.
Right.
And because, of course, we also want to drive tourism to these areas, because a lot of areas that once relied on logging, on coal, most of those industries are not supporting the local economy anymore, but most of those areas are in an area that is beautiful. I mean, you have mountains, you have curvy roads for the most part, and more they're realizing that motorcycle tourism makes a real big economic impact. and
oh yeah,
we
yeah.
always try to stop by these towns and frequent the local restaurants and stay at their hotels. So it's, we need to do good. Nothing good happens if we just stay on the known scenic byways.
Yeah, yeah.
Holiday Inn. I mean, find the locals along the way. That's what adds depth to your travels.
Yeah. What would you say is the difference between the, well, do you get more people interested in road tours or off-road tours?
We survey, this is a survey question, every single year. Oh, we really? Ask them, do you want more off-road, less off-road, or keep it the same as is?
Yeah.
And it's always 25% want more, 25% want less, and 50% say keep it as is.
Really?
It's been for almost a decade. It's the same exact answers every year.
No kidding.
I think we have a good mix. I would say that most of our readers still prefer paved roads.
Yeah.
And we just sprinkle in the off-road stuff as we see fit. I mean, a lot of us journalists like dual sporting. It just adds a little extra challenge. Most of us, I would say, like this hard-packed gravel roads. We don't go too crazy into trail systems on big bikes, although that does happen every once in a while. But the whole point is that our readers need to be able to recreate these tours. And if it's entirely too challenging, then it's not fun for everyone. So, but the good thing is we always tell in our stories if something is unpaved and approximately how difficult it is, just so people know in advance, because nobody wants to follow a route from Roadrunner and then all of a sudden be in, you know, endlessly deep sand and not mud. That's just, so we have to be careful.
Yeah, well, that brings me to like the balance of the challenging roads and making sure that they're accessible to a whole wide range of different riders. Is that you have to scrutinize that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, and it's I mean, curves, I would always say, I mean, again, we used to have a little tangent real quick. We used to have a second company called Blue Rim Tours, which was an organized tour company, and we took our readers over to Europe.
Oh,
and okay. I was a tour guide for almost 15 years, maybe longer, for a very long time. And at the beginning of my tour guiding responsibilities, it was always, yeah, there were some capable riders in the mix, but for the most part, I would say pretty average riders. We always had a couple of incidences where people ran wide in a curve or just dropped motorcycles.
Yeah.
Very normal occurrence. But over the years, riders and guests became better and better. I mean, our pace picked up, bikes weren't dropped, there were no damages. Right. And I do think that either people take more classes or people ride more, or maybe both. But people have certainly become better riders these last couple of years, very noticeable. And when we create these routes, curves is never one of our factors for making something challenging, because we really think that if you ride a motorcycle, you should be able to ride through some curves,
of course,
no matter how tight they are.
You would hope.
Yeah, you would hope, right?
Yeah.
It depends what kind of motorcycle you're on. I mean, you just need to adjust your speed and style accordingly. And then some of the gravel stuff, I mean, I often joke that most of the dual sport stuff, you can take a Goldwing down. You just have to, again, ride appropriately.
Right.
It's not that challenging. And then some of the stuff, I mean, earlier this year, we took, I was on a T7, and we took it into the Wayne National Forest in Ohio. And that's, you know, a full-on trail system for dirt bikes and ATVs. You know, not a whole lot of people take a very large adventure bike back there, but
why not?
It's, you know, it sounded like a good idea at the time. We were super lucky. It was so dry. There was so much grip. Nothing was snotty, nothing. All the ruts were just caked over, and I mean, it was really perfect traction, and I've never had more fun back there, because when I used to live in Ohio, my father-in-law and I went in that trail system on our dirt bikes, and I remember there's some very difficult sections when it's a little slimy, but no, earlier this year, it couldn't have been easier for the conditions. But that's why the photos are also important, because if something is really challenging, I mean, that's a photo opportunity right there.
Oh, yeah. And
we're not going to get our readers in troubles, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. How often do you get out to create a route or ride one of the routes?
Not as much as I'd like. I do commute on a motorcycle, but that doesn't really count. And I'm not a big fan of leaving my house and going for a ride for an hour or two. I work with motorcycles all day, every day. And that's just not the type of riding I do. It's when I ride, it's usually away from home for multiple days at a time. Mm-hmm. And then just drinking from a water hose, really. It's a whole lot of riding in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then if I'm lucky, I get to do maybe 4 or 5 of these per year.
Right.
But it used to be a whole lot more, but this pesky office work.
I understand. How many rides have you created for the magazine and for the website?
I mean, personally?
Yeah.
Wow, that is almost impossible to answer. Really? We've 25 years in existence. I mean, when we started, my dad did all the assigning of rules. And he was the chief. He said, this is the route, you go do it. Then we took that over in 2005. Then we mainly made the tours in-house. Wow, hundreds, I would say. I've created hundreds of routes.
Really? Now, is that actually going out and riding these routes, or is this just a paper creation?
Both. We start, of course, in the office with maps, mm-hmm. and resources, books, lots of books. And then it always helps to have help from a local writer. Okay. If I'm not from Missouri, am I going to put the best route together in Missouri? Probably not. So I always try to reach out to some local writers and then try to come up with something. And it's not just about stitching together some roads. You need to consider, where do you start? Within hour and a half, is there a good rest stop along the way? Is there, something that's always important to me? Is there a coffee shop an hour into the ride? What about gas? Where's your lunch spot? You can't have your lunch spot appear at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then you still got to ride till 5, 6 p.m. because that's going to be a very long afternoon.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Try to put the lunch spot in the second half of the day.
Yeah.
And then, are we riding east? Are we riding west in the morning? So the direction of the loop matters greatly.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of things we take into account when we plan a route. It's a fairly exhaustive list.
Yeah. So the loop is the preferred versus the lollipop loop, correct?
From what we see on our website and downloads, our Shamrock tours are the most popular, and they're also the most convenient. You arrive at a spot, you can unpack your motorcycle, leave everything in your hotel, and then have minimum 4 days of beautiful riding. Whereas a round trip tour, where you have to pack up every day, it's a little more challenging. Yes, you can cover more geographic area, but that comes at a cost. So I would say Shamrock tours are the most popular, and then our round trip tours, which are always between 3 and 5 days long.
Wow. So those are point to point then.
Yeah. But it is a closed loop. So for some people that trailer in, they leave their truck and trailer at one spot, ride the whole loop, and then they're back to their vehicle. Our road connectors are probably the most adventurous and some of the most exciting, but logistically the most difficult to do, because let's say Route 66, Chicago to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Are you going to get home? You still gotta ride all that way back to. Same with some of the BDRs, the Can to Mex Trail, the Continental Divide. So some of these are absolute beautiful adventures and definitely have to do them, put them on a bucket list, but
yeah.
They're a little more challenging for time and logistics.
Okay. With regard to your tours and Because you mentioned earlier about going through the local communities and stuff. Have you ever gotten feedback from the local communities with regard to motorcyclists coming in through their area and spending their hard-earned monies in your communities?
From local riders or from the...
Or from the communities themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have quite a few tourism advertisers that have figured out that they need to promote to riders, because once we discover an area, we tend to return. And then when we come back, we bring friends and we bring family, and right. we come over and over again. So it's repeat business. And these towns, they live off of the hotels, the restaurants, and all the things we buy there and leave our money there. So they have certainly picked up on that trend. We also make large custom maps for some tourism areas. And I think that's really the best tool for an area to attract motorcyclists. Yeah. I mean, give them a map with a bunch of routes. I mean, that's all we want. That way people can come, they don't have to think about it too hard, and they already have the best information right there at their fingertips.
Right. Now, speaking of maps, let's walk us through how a rider might use your GPS files and maps to plan a trip.
That has changed so much over the years.
Really?
I remember when we started, it was all Rand McNally maps, and then putting a piece of paper over it, drawing over it, scanning it in. That's how we made our own maps magazine. I mean, sometimes I still do this too. I know a lot of people that still do this.
Whatever works, right?
When you were your turn by turn directions on a piece of paper and you tape it to your tank. I mean, every once in a while, that has to suffice. GPS, when Garmin came out, that made life easy and harder at the same time.
Yeah.
It worked great to record a route you were riding. So, you know, after you got back to the office, you actually had a breadcrumb trail of where you went. But then again, nobody ever enjoyed the Garmin unit telling you you've arrived at your destination, even though you've never actually left the hotel parking lot. So there were a lot of difficult days with Garmin as well. And I mean, not to speak of Basecamp. I mean, you need a PhD to figure Basecamp out.
Yeah, I know that very well.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that. Yeah. Let's just be honest. But we went through all that. So all of our, right now on our website, our files are available as GPS routes and tracks and KML files. And
GPS routes and what?
We have GPX routes.
Oh, GPX routes. Okay.
GPX routes. They give you turn-by-turn directions.
Okay.
GPX tracks, which is just the breadcrumb trail for you to follow without turn-by-turn directions, which is what I prefer. I just want the fixed track, because a route sometimes can change. I mean, sometimes based on your unit, it'll recalculate and put you on a completely different path than you want it to.
Yeah.
And I do know that the brand new Garmin units, they have a feature that can convert a track to a route, which is quite handy too.
Yeah.
And then a KML file, which is just a different file format, but it seems to work better with the Gaia GPS app. And that's what I use. That's what most of us use at the office. It makes it much, much easier because you asked how it works when our readers follow our routes. Well, they go to the website. Web subscribers have access to almost 1,300 GPS files.
Wow, really? 1,300?
Yeah. So you log in, you use the handy dandy search bar at the top or the tour filters on the tour page, and then you find where you want to ride. And then when you're logged in, you see the map. It's a Google map. You can zoom in and out so you can preview it. And then you have the download links right afterwards. It's quite easy if you're already on your phone, you can download that file straight to your phone.
Okay.
And when you open the file, just say you want to open it in your Gaia GPS app.
Mm-hmm.
And then magically it's right in your Gaia app. The route is there. You can change the colors, and then you can follow it. It's stupid easy.
All right. So if people can either, they can either follow these using their smartphone or their GPS.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many GPS apps out there. Yeah. Many years ago, we also had our own GPS app that had all of our routes already on it. Right. So all you had to do was find it. But you know, there are, well, my brother always said, don't develop your own app. It's just a black hole that you just constantly chuck money into.
And I get it.
I'm glad that we listened to him, because it was a white label app, and the company that made it for us, all of their developers were in the Ukraine, and that's when it happened.
Oh, dear.
It was just all bad timing all at once. So the app didn't get any more updates, and then slowly but surely it just kind of went away. But again, we never can compete with these $1 million app companies that just have so much money and so many resources available to constantly add more features and everything. So we decided we'll provide the route and you figure out how you want to follow
it. Do you keep track of, or do you know how many downloads you get per year or per month or anything?
Well, not at the top of my head, but it is the end of the year right now, and I will know that very shortly, because it is something that we look at. But I mean, based on our surveys, when we ask, have you followed a tour from Roadrunner because you saw it in the magazine or on the website,
right,
it's above 90%. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we really motivate people to ride and rack up the miles out there, and we get quite a few emails and letters still too, with feedback from riders how they take our trips and how much fun they have on it. And sometimes it's even accompanied by the statement, "I wish I would have done this sooner." It's like, yes, absolutely. No, don't wait for tomorrow. Go ride your motorcycle now.
I get it. I totally get it. What services do your subscribers off to the website get versus the paper subscribers, the print subscribers? Is there a difference in services that they get? Obviously, they have access to the tours, but is there, what else?
Not really the services, but we kind of made our website similar to a magazine, the way it is delivered, for instance. So when you subscribe to the magazine, it shows up in your mailbox, right? You don't have to go to the newsstand to go get it. On our website, especially if you're a web subscriber, all of the news stories don't just get posted to the website, but we email them out. Just one story emailed out. So it's kind of the same principle. Instead of just throwing it on the website, hoping people find it, we send it to our readers. That way they get it in their inbox. They don't have to go hunting for it. And people tend to really like that system.
Good. Do you have a favorite tour or favorite route that you like to ride?
That's such a loaded question.
Glad I could help.
Since we stopped our organized tour company, I really, really miss riding in the Alps and Dolomites.
Really?
That was always once, maybe twice a year, I got to go to Europe and ride a rental BMW, ride it like you stole it, and really have fun. Even though sometimes it rains, doesn't really matter. You're still in the Alps and Dolomites, just fantastic riding. So I do miss that. But luckily, North Carolina has so many roads to choose from. I'll never get tired of exploring the roads in the Southern Appalachians here. But it really doesn't, it's so difficult to just pick one, because there's Route 66, which is still, you know, bucket list trip for me that I did 2 years ago. We have all the fun stuff out in Colorado and Utah, all the off-road there. It just looks so otherworldly. Mm-hmm. I'll never get tired of that riding either. It really just depends. And that's the beauty of America. It is so large. We have so many states to choose from. Last time I checked, there were 50. There are so many states to choose from, and it's just so much to explore. There's something for everybody.
Wow, that's awesome. Looking ahead, what new destinations or services can riders expect from Roadrunner in the coming year?
We're working hard at our special issue already, and we have some really, really beautiful stories from Yellowstone coming up next year. We lucked out. One of our journalists from Europe, he is just a master photographer. I mean, probably the best photographer we've ever featured. And last year he went to, was it last year? My years get blended up. Might have been earlier this year. He went to the western part of America, and yeah, the photos, it's difficult. It's difficult to say no to the stories, because he was originally supposed to give me a one story, just one story.
Yeah.
But then we went through the photos, and then now we have seven.
Wow. See? Wow.
Yeah. It's so many good photos. And the I always say it's difficult to think about a story or an angle while planning out a route in your office. I always say the story writes itself as soon as you hit the road.
Of course.
And I never have problems. As soon as I'm out of the office and I'm riding, it's just the ideas just flood in. So it's, yeah, that part's pretty easy.
Wow. So you got that new, that special issue coming out. Anything else for 2026 we can expect?
We're definitely not going to give away another motorcycle as much as I would like to.
Oh, that's a shame.
We might make this every 2 years, maybe every 5 years. I don't know. We'll do it again. We'll definitely do it again, just not next year. We really stretched ourselves very thin this year. Mm-hmm. So next year is going to be some time to reevaluate all of our things, because as a small company, you can't just keep doing the same things over and over again. So yeah, it's a good opportunity to look into every department again and just innovate, because you can't keep doing the same thing. I mean, of course, the magazine and the website and YouTube will be there. We'll probably, you know, if you ask what's new, we'll probably do even more video. Our YouTube channel is pretty active. Roadrunner Mag, it's pretty active with point of view videos, travel videos, and motorcycle reviews. There's quite a bit happening there. It's just, yeah, but you know, it never ends. It just never ends.
All right. Well, I tell you what, how can people learn more about Roadrunner?
The best way to start is go to roadrunner.travel, to our website, and sign up for a free newsletter. Every Wednesday, we mail out our newsletter. Comes straight to your inbox, and it's full of the latest stories you can find on our website. And there you'll also find information and discounts on how to subscribe to our magazine, Roadrunner Motorcycle Touring and Travel, and our website, roadrunner.travel, for our web subscriptions. But that's the best way to start. Get a free newsletter.
Okay. And of course, you got the YouTube channel, and you got the social media stuff. As we close the interview, what final thoughts would you like to share about Roadrunner and Roadrunner Tours?
You know, we've been doing this for 25 years, and publishing a magazine is hard work these days. It's everybody's costs, not just in the publishing industry, but you know, everybody's costs are going up. So it's increasingly difficult to publish a magazine, but we really enjoy doing it, and we don't want to stop. So it's very helpful to have the support of our readers and our advertisers. Mm-hmm. And if you like what we do, I kindly ask that you get a print subscription and start there and support us in that way. Because at the end of the day, we share, you know, hundreds and thousands of GPS files for your enjoyment that lead to economic, you know, it's an economic driver for these areas, these rural areas in America. It's very all encompassing. We don't just ride motorcycles. There's always additional causes, I would say.
All right. Well, Florian, listen, I want to thank you very much for being on the podcast. You've been a wealth of information, and I encourage all of our listeners to get out there and get a subscription to Roadrunner Magazine, either online or the actual print version. I appreciate you being on the show. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when we're done, but thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Motorcycle Men podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will also be in the show notes. And the Gold Star Ride Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. If you would like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Hey, thanks for joining me and Florian here in the V-Twin Cafe, where he told us all about Roadrunner Magazine, their online magazine and new tours. Now listen, you can learn more about Roadrunner by getting on over to www.roadrunner.travel. Links will be in the show notes, and of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. Don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel and watch some of the many videos I have there. And if you'd please also like and subscribe, that would be a great help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. Get your copy of my book, The Road Most Traveled, now direct from me on the Motorcycle Men website and save nearly $8. Of course, it's still available on Amazon, but you can still get it from me if you want, and I'll even sign it for you. All right, boys and girls, from me and all the rest of the team here at Motorcycle Men Podcast, we wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. And remember, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.